welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here, and welcome from Kingdom Harvest Church. I don't know what you're all complaining about being cold. This feels quite normal to me. We're pioneering up there, and our heating system is antique. So we're doing our best. We have to have it on for many hours, and we can just take the chill off the place. But I cut my teeth pioneering with Mum and Dad. I was thinking this morning, you know, you weren't possibly in the services way back when it would get maybe too warm. Dad would think it'd be too warm. We wouldn't. And he'd say to the stewards, turn off the heat. People are falling asleep. He liked the cold. I remember I was 14 years old. We up in Kukuli. We had a big bus, I don't know how many seater bus it was, but that's where we had our prayer meeting, 6 or 6:30 on a Tuesday morning. And I used to get out of my bed and go with Dad, and there was no heat in that bus. I tell you, in the winter, you just saw the breath. That's pioneering, and little did I know, it was all in preparation because I was called to pioneer with my husband, Kingdom Harvest. Amen. So let's pray this morning. God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that your word is life. It brings life to us. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that this word just comes with impartation this morning, that you'd speak the word to every heart. Amen. Every heart what Amen. Is needed to be heard this morning. And I take authority over every power of the enemy, every spirit that would try and confuse or interfere with this communication in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. Our hearing is blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all through this service, it's just been confirmation. Not that I needed confirmation, but it's just every song that we sang was about what God has given me today. The first scripture was about what God has given me today. It's just been, I've not known a time like it. Amen. So this is a word for us individually, but it is a word to the house this morning. God has given me a word for BCC this morning. I've titled this, God Has More. God Has More. God Has More for each of your lives, and God Has More for Kingdom Harvest Church. And I say, what is in your heart today? What are you expecting? What are you expecting that God has in store for you? Because he's got great things in store. Maybe it's a job promotion. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's the call of God in your life. Maybe it's a different direction. But God has more. No matter what you've seen before, God has more. And Dad had just referenced that scripture. It's found in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10. And it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And we love him, don't we? But God has revealed them to us. How? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So the only way that we can receive everything that God has prepared for us is through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're not spending time with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be walking like a wee bit funny through trees. Maybe you're hitting an obstacle here. Maybe you're stamping on pretty flowers here. But if you're spending time with the Holy Spirit, you're going to know exactly. And you may not get maybe all the specifics, but God was leading you line upon line, and he will show you things that are up ahead. Things up ahead may seem a little blurry at first, but you can see that's a good thing up ahead. I can't maybe see just the color of it and just how it's displayed and just quite how big that is, but I can see it's good. But the closer you get to it, as you're walking to the word of the Lord, it becomes more real to you and it becomes more specific. And you can see it. You can see the detail of it more and more and more. So you've got to spend time with the Holy Ghost. We're spirit beings. If you take time to eat your 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, or if we count all the snacks, meals in the day, we've got to spend time with the Holy Spirit, and we've got to spend time in his word, because in his word faith comes. Amen. Faith comes. So no matter what you've experienced so far, God has more for you. You need to think bigger. You need to dream bigger. You need to imagine more. And no one, but no one can hold back what God has in store for you, except you. Except you. And you say, how? It's because simply, if you get into doubt, if you get into fear, if you get into unforgiveness, if you get into bitterness, if you get into worry and anxiety, everything the word says don't do, it will hinder the flow of the Spirit. It will hinder your ears from hearing, and it will hinder your eyes from seeing. So spend time with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1 verse 11, reading from the New Living Translation, says, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. I love that scripture. Everything works out according to his plan. But we do have an enemy. And Satan doesn't attack what was in their past, because that's past. That's why Paul says, forget the past and move forward. Don't be bothered about the past. Satan's not bothered about the past. Why are you bothered about the past? Why would you look into the past? Satan's only bothered about the future. He's only bothered about what's up ahead. He sees a little glimpse maybe of what's up ahead too. He knows the scripture and he knows what the scripture said. Satan knows that God has good things in store for his people. So what will he do? He will try and stop it. He will try and derail you getting to there any way he can. But God, what God has promised to you, it will come to pass. Even if there's delays and detours, it will come to pass as you trust him wholeheartedly. All of it is coming to pass. But I do want to talk into detours and delays this morning, because the Lord had asked me to do that. Because they can bring discouragement and it can bring disillusionment to us when we suffer delays and we suffer detours. And I want to just go through a few Bible characters very quickly. And the first one is Caleb. Now Caleb, he was one of the 12 spies that were sent into the Canaan land, the promised land, just to have a look at it and to come back and give a report. And he went through a tremendous delay that we're going to read about. But he made up his mind that he was going to reach his destiny and his destination. And he was going to get his inheritance no matter what. So the 12 spies came back, and it says that 10 of them brought a bad report, and Caleb and Joshua, they brought a realistic report. They said, yes, there's giants in the land. Yes, there's big walls, these walls of Jericho, and things that we have to conquer and things that we have to overcome, but we are able. Numbers 13 and verse 30, it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it. And that was his spirit. But the other 10 spies, as we said, they brought the fear. And so there was a judgment put on them. In Numbers, we see that Numbers 14. I'm just skipping along fast here this morning. And verse 29 to 30, it says, in this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you who is 20 years old or more, who has counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, the Lord says, everyone who's complained against me 20 years and above, you're not going to enter the promised land. You're going to die in this wilderness. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Amen. Now here's Caleb's account, and every time I read this, I just love his spirit. It says in Joshua 14, 6 to 14, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, it says, a delegation from the tribe of Judah led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, he came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb said to Joshua, because Joshua was leading at this time, he says, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and I gave an honest report, But my brothers who were with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. And for my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord. So he's saying there, he gave that honest report. Verse 9. So that day Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan in which you were just walking will be your part of the land and for your descendants forever because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Because you didn't go to the right or the left. Because you didn't do your own wee thing here. Because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Verse 10. Now as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he's promised me these 45 years since Moses made that promise. Even while Israel wandered in the desert, and today I'm 85 years old, I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So he's proving, he's talking to Joshua, he's proving this to Joshua. Look at me, showing his muscles and all, showing he can hold his armor, and maybe he was demonstrating a bit, convincing him. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living in their great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephthah, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Now Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb right through to this day because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord. And you know, Caleb, he could have wondered about God's plan, couldn't he? He was faithful. He'd come back, he'd give an honest report. He could have sat, what's happening? Look at the delay. I have to wait till all these people die. And you know, he knew it was caused by his brethren. They'd put fear in the people and then all of the people grumbling and complaining. And he'd been faithful, but no, he didn't do that. He was expectant. He was believing God's word would come to pass. God's promises would come to pass. That if God has promised, this is my portion of land, I'm going to have that portion of land. And you can see him training. You can see him get, he was from the tribe of Judah. And you can see him with the young men and saying, come on, I've been in there. Tell them all about the walls of Jericho. Tell them about, oh, there's going to be big giants. But come on, we're training. We're the best tribe. We're the best army because we're going to go in. We're going to go into the hill country and we're going to overcome. And that was the spirit he had. And he would have been putting into that spirit into all of those that are around about him. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just want to read this portion. I did a little bit of study on Hebron. So God gave him Hebron. And it says Hebron, when I looked at this, is the site of the oldest Jewish community in the world. The book of Genesis relates that Abraham purchased the field where the tomb of the patriarchs is located as a burial place for his wife Sarah. And according to Jewish tradition, the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the matriarchs Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah are all buried in the tomb in Hebron. Hebron was one of the first places where the patriarch Abraham resided after his arrival in Canaan. Hebron is mentioned 87 times in the Bible, and it's the world's oldest Jewish community. And following the death of King Saul, God instructed David to go to Hebron, where he was anointed king of Judah. A little more than 7.5 years later, David was anointed king over all Israel in Hebron. Yes, Caleb had to wait. Yes, there was a big detour caused by his brethren, but God was faithful. God was faithful. Another one was Joshua, and I just referred him quickly because really, you know, he was in the same game. He was one of the spies with Caleb. He brought back that honest report. But I just want to bring out the fact as well that Joshua from the tribe of Ephraim, he was Moses' assistant. And Moses was training him. And as I put this word, the Lord showed me how to put this word together. It was all about training. It was all about, as I just said, Caleb training. He was training that tribe to go in. Joshua was being trained by Moses' assistant. And then when Moses passed on, Caleb, you know, came into leadership. And when the time came, he had the job and responsibility of leading the people into the promised land. So you think for Caleb, he was going to go in, he's leading his tribe. Caleb was leading all of the people of Israel, all 12 tribes, in to inherit the land. And that's why God came and he said in Joshua 1, "Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee." Amen. I'm just remembered of the highlights as well. Where's Carol? I mean, the highlights, that word, you read them as well. Read them when you go home, because don't want you miss what God has for you here. But it's right in keeping with this word today. That'll be a witness to you, of the word for the house today. So God says, be strong and of good courage, because they hadn't been that way before. They were going in a different way that they'd never been, because God says, don't look back. I'm going forward. And as we go forward, there's different things. The future looks different. What I have up ahead is different. What I have up ahead for Bangor Community Church is different than it's ever been before. It's not going to look like what it ever was before. It's going to look different, completely different. You cannot look back. And when the leadership had changed over to Joshua, Joshua was a military man. Moses wasn't a military man. God needed a military man to take them into this land. Moses wasn't. So Joshua was able to download all the instructions to be able to take the very first city, Jericho. And how were they to go about that? By praising. Isn't that right? By praising. And he inquired of the Lord every time, will I go up? Will I fight this? What will I do? He inquired. So important that we inquire of the Lord. We spend time with the Lord. We spend time in his presence. So in both those lives, Caleb and Joshua, even though unbelief of others succeeded in delaying their inheritance, they received everything God had for them, every single thing. David went through a delay. Remember David? He was anointed king. He was anointed the next king. God found somebody with his own, like his own heart. And he was anointed king. And then he goes, you know, we all know the story. He went, and what a big defeat. He defeated Goliath, won a big victory for Israel. And you know, I'm sure even inside of him, he loved the Lord. He had that relationship, but he knew too. Thank you, Lord, for helping me do that. Thank you for helping me in that victory. But what happened to David? Saul, the present king, who he loved, and he really befriended Saul's son, Jonathan. He tried to kill him. Not once. Multitudes of times he tried to kill him. Get your head around that. I've been anointed king. Wonder where he was thinking, because God said, not only was he told, he was anointed by the prophet in the company of his father's household. They'd all witnessed it. So it wasn't a private little thing. I know I'm going to be king. This was an open public thing. He's going to be the next king. And yet look what he had to go through. The present king's trying to kill him. He went through the delay, and, you know, it's just a long story if you want to read. It's all found in 1 Samuel. But David kept his heart right through all of that. And he honored King Saul. He honored him. And even men, it says, men who were in distress, men who were discontented, were gathering to him. Men who were in debt were gathering to him. And after a time, they became mighty men. They maybe came in a bit disgruntled, you know, what's ever going to happen? What's going on? What's going on with Saul? You know, we're losing battles. Things aren't the way they used to be. What's happening? And they came to David, but after they'd been with David, what did he do? He trained. He started training. He was training them, and they became mighty men. And that is why we know in the Bible now they're known as David's mighty men. And you can read that account and see all about that. Another one is Mordecai. Remember Mordecai? When his young, it's actually cousin Esther, her parents died. And so he took her in and she became a daughter to him. And he trained her. There's the training again. He trained her. And parents in here, it's our job not just to instruct our children, or tell them this and do this and do that. We have to train them in the ways of the Lord. And so she was a Jew in a foreign nation. And when she became queen, and that seemed to be out of the blue, became queen, he instructed her and he looked out for her. It says that, you know, he would have been sitting at the gate, maybe he's pacing by, he just wondered what's going to happen. And he says, now, Esther, do not reveal to them that you're a Jew. Just keep that quiet. And so she obeyed that. And so maybe after this next day goes and the next day goes and this month goes by and Mordecai is getting comfortable, she's going to be okay. As long as she doesn't say she's a Jew, she's going to make it. And then what happened? One day he discovered that there was a decree put forth. You know, the enemy is always trying to steal your inheritance. Always. Always trying to steal your destiny. He doesn't want you to arrive. He wants you to get stuck. He wants you to derail you. He wants you to get off course. And we see in Esther 3 and 13 in the NIV, it says, dispatches were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and children, on a single day. They picked the day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder all their goods. And so Mordecai, he's thinking there's a good thing. There's that daughter that I've raised. Now she's queen. She's in the palace. But now all the Jews are to be annihilated. That she's a Jew. That includes her. So he instructed, he says, Ruth, you've got to plead for your people. This is the time now. Reveal yourself. You're a Jew. And go before the king. But she was fearful because we know the story that the king, he had to request you to come. You couldn't just request to go to the king. And if otherwise, he could just pronounce you dead. So she was fearful. But he was training her, remember? And he got word, he convinced her. He says, you know, God's going to save the Jews one way or the other, at one time or another. Who's to know if he won't use you? That was his word. And he convinced her. Amen? And so the enemy's plan was stopped. If you read that, it's all found in the book of Esther. His plan was stopped. The Jews were saved. Think of Esther just for a moment as well. She'd suffered the tragedy of losing both of her parents. She could have maybe thought, what's happened now? What's happened to the plan maybe God has for my life now? Who's going to provide for me? It's back so different in those days. Who's going to provide? Maybe she'd no idea of God's plan. I don't believe she had any idea of God's plan. Maybe perhaps she did if she had that close relationship. But, you know, Vashti, Queen Vashti, refused to come to the king when she was summoned. And because of that act, the king says, away with her. I'm getting another wife. And when all the young maidens were brought in before the king for him to choose, who did he choose? He chose Esther. Why? Because he had a plan. He's always thinking of his people. He's always raising up leaders. He's always got key people in key places at the right time. It's what those people do with those key places at the right time. It's, are you like Caleb, wholeheartedly following God? So Esther took that and she went in. She overcame that fear because fear is over in the enemy's camp. Anytime you're in fear and you're in doubt and you're worried, you've stepped over to the enemy's camp. I always teach the children in Kingdom Harvest, there's a blessing umbrella. God's blessing is raining down upon us. That blessing umbrella never changes its mind, never moves. We move. And we move. We move out into fear and out into doubt and out into worry. And all we have to do is say, oh God, I'm sorry, I did it again. Back under the blessing umbrella. Back under. Back into faith. That's all it takes. And the Lord's just brought that up, that example up to me. You know, when we were going for the church, the Brethren Hall there in the Albert Bridge Road, we had looked to it. It had come across, it was probably 2 years we've been looking at this hall, but for one reason or another, we weren't in a position to buy it. The elders weren't going to sell it to anybody. They were waiting for one of the elders really to die. He was the one who didn't want to sell the building. So we got this phone call. Brian got the phone call one day to say, so-and-so has passed away. We want to sell the building. Are you still interested? And so Brian turned to me. He says, well, we can buy this building now. Well, before I thought about all the finances that were required for the building, my first thought was, is that the building? Because you know when something's a way out, you don't really sometimes think about it. But now when it's a reality, it's here. I have to make a decision. Are we going for this building? Is this the right building for us to buy at this time? Or would it fall down a few years? You know, we had to inquire of the Lord. And I says, I'm going to have to go before the Lord, Brian. I don't know if I've got faith for the building, but Brian did. Oh, that's the building. Of course it is. We're going for it, if you know Brian. I thought, well, I need to be in faith for this building. And I remember where I was sitting and I made a conscious decision. Okay, yeah, I have a peace about this. So I'm not in faith right now. And what I did was I'm going to step over here into faith. And I did this. Now I'm in faith for the building. Never question it one more time. All the finances came. The people were with us. The people rose up. The people gave. Those outside of the work gave. Because God has his way of getting things done. Amen. And if he wants a church to be in possession of a hall in the Upper Bridge Road, because the garage next door, they wanted to flatten it. They would have just extended and just made a whole load more money. You know, we had people going to see our solicitors and the vendor solicitors saying, you know, we've got a cash offer. It was ridiculous. But God had his way. Amen. So your biggest miracles are always ahead. They're never behind. We're people of faith. We're not a people of fear. We're not a people who retreat. And the Lord says this morning, you keep moving forward. And this scripture, Hebrews 6 and verse 10 to 12, it says, for God is not, I'm reading it in the Amplified, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and labor, which you have shown for his name in ministering to the needs of the saints, God's people, as you do. And we desire for each one of you to show the same diligence all the way through, so as to realize and enjoy the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be spiritually sluggish, and you will be indeed imitators of those who through faith lean on God with absolute trust and confidence in him and his power, and by patient endurance, faith and patience inherit the promises, even when suffering, are now entering the promises. So it's faith and patience, you will have and enter the promises. Amen. No matter what you're believing for, that's the word to the church, but individually, whatever that is you're believing for, whatever that is in your family, the way you want to see your family, the way, ladies, you want a husband that's on fire and in the word and going for God, you build that picture in the inside of you and you don't let it go. You see it. See it with the eyes of faith. Don't let it go. If you've a kid off in the world right now and you see them by your side, you see them praising God, you see them weeping and repentance of coming back to God. If it's a career and you know God has just got a career for you and maybe even a business for you because you have to bring finances into the kingdom, because there's kings and priests in the kingdom of God. There are people that are, their responsibility is, we've all responsibility to bring our gifts before the Lord, but their primary gift is not to be behind the pulpit preaching. It's to be going out in the marketplace and making lots of money and bringing it into the house of God. So the house of God always is more than enough. Never a scarcity in the house of God. More than enough so that we can reach the community, so we can reach the nation, we can reach the world. So whatever that is, so if it's a business today, if it's an idea, if you're an entrepreneur in here, dream big. Imagine big. God has great things in store. And no matter if you failed or you failed or you failed, you keep going and going and going. Amen? You keep looking, okay, well, that didn't work. Let's try again. That didn't work. Because you've got a word from God. You've got a word. Like Caleb, he was going in, he's giving me the hill country. It was promised to him, and he was preparing his people because we're going to go in and we're going to get that land. So whatever your land is, whatever it's, if it's a, to do with relations, to do with people, or to do with business, or to do with things, keep in front of you. And like me, maybe you have to step back into faith or step into faith for it. But do that today. And just as I was preparing as well, God had given me the word for the church. And so, as I say, everything that we sang about today, our scriptures today, it's all to do with this. So if you just close your eyes, so you receive this word today. It says, I love you, my people. I love you. I am still God. I am in control and I have a plan. Today I want your hopes and expectations to rise to a new level. I am bringing order to my house, to you, my people. As you praise and worship me, my foe will be bound with fetters of iron. His hands will be tied and confusion will be brought to his forces. Praise and praise and praise and shout the shout of victory, for I am in the camp and my victory is in you. Rejoice and be glad, for I, the Lord, know the end from the beginning, and the latter end of this house shall be so much greater than the former, says the Lord. I cannot be stopped. My plan cannot be altered. My word has gone forth over this house, and it will not be reversed or made void. Pastor Hillary, the Lord says, all is well. All is well. And now I speak to those who speak against my plan and my people. No longer be a pawn in the hands of my foe. Don't look at what you see and give life to it by your words. I have given you eyes of faith. Use them. Speak by faith. Look to me. Trust me. I am your supply. I am your reward. I am bringing order to my house, and this is the time. This is the time of my separation from the plans of my foe and my plans. Rise and build, says the Lord. Finish the sanctuary. Do all the work that I've put in your heart. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over every stronghold in this place, in Jesus' name. Every stronghold of the enemy, we take authority. Join with me, church, in the name of Jesus. We break every stranglehold of the enemy in the name of Jesus over Bangor Community Church. We break every negative word spoken against this people and this work in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet, church. We take authority over the enemy in Jesus' name. We take authority over you in the name of Jesus. You have no place here, no longer. And right now we pronounce and we declare there is a separation from the work of the foe, the enemy, and God's work in Jesus' name. For it is greater than it will ever be. Greater than the former. Greater than the former. And we are pushing on to great things. Pushing on to greater things. Pushing on to greater things. And we will not give our voice to any destructive, negative word of the enemy. We will not lift up the word of the foe in here. We will not lift up the word of the foe outside of here. We will not speak it to one another or to anyone else. We close the gap today in the name of Jesus Christ. And we trust you for the way forward, God. We trust you for the way forward. In the name of Jesus, for our hope is in you. Our hope is in you. Hallelujah. Our hope is in you. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangorcommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.